You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
OnFast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. That means whether you're downloading big files, swiping credit cards, or emailing your sales team or customers, your business can go on even if the power goes out. When you're a business owner, you need speed and reliability. For a limited time, make the switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond AT&T. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month when you add two voice mobility lines. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offers 9/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
Whatever gets you revved up, Citgo is here to help with top-tier tri-clean gasoline. Continuous use helps maximize mileage so that you can get more life out of every tank. So go rev up with tri-clean at your locally owned Citgo station today. Citgo. Fueling good.
Exciting midway rides, fair food, and an awesome youth talent show with today's perks deal. A discounted family 4-pack of tickets or a 10-day fair pass to the Mid-South Fair. The Mid-South Fair is back at the Lander Center September 20th through the 30th. Get your deal now at getmyperks.com.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat. The buying toner for the copy machine hat. The sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra-long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Hurry to Kroger and save at the 2-day-only digital sale. Friday and Saturday, select varieties of Kellogg cereal are 99 cents with card and coupon from Kroger.com.
Download the official 92.9 FM ESPN app, the radio.com app. Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis's sports station. 92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
He sounds too good to fly. That midnight train winding low runs a lonesome mile to cry.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is the Al Green version of the Hank Williams standard, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, from his 1973 album, Call Me, which is my favorite Al Green album, my favorite Memphis album, and one of my three favorite albums of any time. Playing that today in reference to a new Al Green track that came out today, but which I don't think is on YouTube because I couldn't find that to play. But there's a new Al Green song recorded in Memphis. It's another country cover of a Freddie Fender song, Before the Next Teardrop Falls. That is the first new Al Green recording in a decade. But so I'm calling back to a previous time when Green covered a country classic.
When Al Green produces a new song, like, where does it go? What's the distribution?
Well, this one that came out today is part of a new program that Amazon is doing. And so for purchase, I gather it is an Amazon exclusive, which is sort of too bad. I've never bought music on Amazon myself. But there's a new project by a local producer, Matt Ross Fang, that is Amazon exclusive. And he's got 4 songs. One of them is from Al Green.
Have you seen Al Green much in your life?
No, I interviewed Al Green, but it was on the phone, not in person. And I've seen Al Green, but not in any kind of like intimate setting or anything. And so no. I mean, my experience with Al Green is primarily through his records.
you have not seen him, you've not seen a concert by him, or you've not seen him going to his church.
I mean, I think yes, but not in, it was some outdoor big, I don't remember what specific was, longer time ago, and, nothing that particularly memorable.
Yeah. Did you see that Mick Jagger was in town yesterday? I saw pictures. Is that true? Did you see this? Was that Sun Studios?
I did not see this. I missed this. What was he in town for?
I don't know the answer to that. Did you not see that, Jeffrey? Maybe I'm making this up. I thought I saw pictures of Mick Jagger on the interwebs at Sun Studios. I thought, and with Killer. I thought I saw that. That's what I thought I saw, but maybe it could have been from 10 years ago, recirculated. So maybe I'm just making that up. We're going to have Jeffrey research that. Let me ask you this. Sun Studios, is that on your must-see list in Memphis, Tennessee for visitors?
Yeah, as far as like tourist attraction stuff, that's my number one probably, because it is legitimately like one of the most important cultural spaces in the country. It's been sort of redone because at one point it became some other kind of store and then they turned it back to a studio, but it essentially is what it was. It's not rebuilt in the way like the Stax Museum, which is a completely new building rebuilt on the old space. Like, it is the Sun Studio. And it's also one room. Like, it's not a big ordeal to go to Sun. It's right in the middle of the city, and it's one room. And it's not as time-consuming or expensive as, say, going to Graceland, right? It's a pretty easy thing to do. Sun would actually be number one on my list of, like, Memphis tourist things.
When all this music happened at Sun, who owned Sun? What was the story of Sun?
Well, initially it wasn't Sun. It was Memphis Recording Service. And Sam Phillips, who was a radio guy, originally from Florence, Alabama, moved to Memphis, was working in radio in Memphis, and started a recording service to record whatever. Like, he would come record your wedding or record, just record.
Really?
So you could walk in and make a record. Like, that's what Elvis did. He walked in to make a record, right?
Yeah.
So it was Memphis Recording Service, and he recorded a lot of blues artists for other labels. Like, he recorded Howlin' Wolf and recorded early B.B. King stuff. And he was recording records that got released through other labels. Like, Howlin' Wolf stuff got released through Chess Records in Chicago, both recorded, at least initially, by Sam Phillips at Memphis Recording Service. It became Sun when he decided, instead of recording these artists for other people, I'm going to record them for myself and release records myself. And so it went from Memphis Recording Service to a record label, and that's when it became Sun.
Yeah, but when Elvis did it, when he walked in to record, it was a Memphis Recording Service?
Yeah, it was Memphis Recording Service. Sun may have been operating then as a record label at that point, but Elvis went in, the sense is that he was trying to get discovered, right? But technically the story is he went in to, anybody could walk in and pay their money and record a song and walk out with it, right? The story is he went in to record a song for his mother's birthday. The belief is that he was going there because he wanted to be heard.
And when did it stop operating as Sun Studios?
At some point, you're sort of catching him and getting into the weeds a little bit there. But at some point, Sam Phillips built a new recording studio down the street, which is still there, so operational. Mm-hmm. Sam Phillips Recording, which is actually where this new Al Green song was recorded. Mm-hmm. And so Sam Phillips moved his operation from Sun to the newer, bigger Sam Phillips Recording down the street. At some point after that, it stopped being a recording studio, it became some other store. I don't remember what it was, like aquatic supply or something. I'm kind of making that up, but it was something like that. But then at some point, a guy named Shelby Singleton bought Sun and became the owner of Sun. And then at some point, it was turned back into a studio, mostly as a tourist destination, although it still is an active studio. There is still
people
stuff
do
recorded
still
at Sun in off hours.
All right.
Mick Jagger was indeed in Memphis yesterday. He took a picture at Sun Studios with Jerry Lee Lewis. Today on Twitter, 29 minutes ago, on his own personal account, Mick tweeted out a picture of himself at the door in the opening doorway or the front door of Sun Studios.
So the question is, what in the world was he doing here? What was Mick doing here?
I saw he was on a movie set for a movie in Natchez, Mississippi, but I can't confirm if that...
Let's be honest, everyone from England comes to visit Sun Studio. That's probably, he's just one of the people walking down from downtown to Sun Studio. We see it all the time. It's amazing. It is amazing how many Brits you see. Don't you think it's mostly Brits? I mean, of our music tourists.
I mean, there's a lot of international tourism. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're downtown a lot, you're sitting around a coffee shop, you'll hear a lot of languages you probably don't speak, right? And that's not Brits. That's people from Eastern Europe and, you'll see people from Japan. There's a lot of international tourism. in Memphis related to music, certainly.
Okay. Don't have much on the NBA. We're waiting for all of this to get fired up very shortly with the Memphis Grizzlies. But a couple of things have happened. One is Russell Westbrook had knee surgery and is out for 4 weeks, expected to be fine. But it is, he's going to be, you think of him as such a physical force, and he is a physical force. This is his fourth knee surgery on this knee. He's going to turn 30 this fall. If you were Oklahoma City, would you start to be concerned about, particularly the way he plays, whether Russell Westbrook can be Russell Westbrook over the course of this deal?
Yeah, absolutely, given the size of that contract. I mean, you see it with guards who are not great shooter playmakers, right? You already see it a little bit. We'll see what happens this season. You already see it a little bit in Washington with John Wall, who never developed into a great shooter, and sort of concerned that he's passing his peak relatively early. That's a concern in Washington. That would be a concern for me with Westbrook, given that he is not a great shooter playmaker. He's not Chris Paul, right? Chris Paul can survive diminished athleticism because he's a great pure point guard who can make shots. His game has never been dependent on overwhelming you athletically. Whereas Russell, it's hard to say his name without, you know, sound like you have a lisp, but Russell Westbrook has totally been dependent on his athleticism. And so I would totally be concerned about him falling off faster than other players of his caliber because of the kind of game he plays. Yes.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, listen, I'm very optimistic about Jaren Jackson Jr. And I'm optimistic about his. I take pleasure in his bubbly, giddy personality. That makes me happy. It's just because I like some joy in this place would be great. And then I'm optimistic about all of the parts of the game that you have identified before he was drafted and that we've seen in summer camp. Having said that, there is a little part of me that is filled with some jealousy about the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. And then you see some of the quotes that are coming out of Dallas about him. Here's Rick Carlisle, not necessarily an ebullient fellow. Off of what I've seen the last 2 days, he said last week, anybody who doesn't jump up on season tickets now is going to sorely regret it later. That's all I'll say. Here's Dirk Nowitzki. I'm really liking what I'm seeing. He's incredible with the ball for a big guy. He's unbelievable in pick and roll play. His court vision is already unbelievable. I couldn't believe what I saw from a 19, 20-year-old. He's a good shooter when he has time, and I think he's going to be great for us for a long, long time. He's an incredible talent. His court vision and passing for his size at his age is something I've never seen in my 20 years. I could shoot a little bit, but I never had the court vision, the savviness that he brings to the game, just the way he already reads the pick and roll, all the stuff like Chris Paul and those guys do. He's going to be fun to watch, especially with bigs like DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Powell rolling to the rim. He's going to pick defenses apart, and it's going to be fun to watch. You don't seem like the type who gets jealous over other teams and who they wound up with. But isn't there a part of you that would have liked to see the Luka show here in Memphis?
Sure. I mean, I had Luka ranked second and Jackson third on my own board that I published. But I acknowledged at the time that I was personally convinced on Jackson with Luka. It was part of leap of faith based on other people's scouting because I hadn't seen it enough myself other than YouTube, right?
Right.
But still, based on everything I knew, decision I had to make, I did have him a spot higher than Jaren Jackson. And so if the Grizzlies had the third pick, I would have taken Luka Doncic. They didn't. They had the fourth, and they took Jaren Jackson, who I had the third best player in the draft. But all that to say is that the fan base that should feel most jealous about those quotes.
Sacramento, right?
Atlanta, yeah. And Sacramento, right? It's those two teams. Those are and the Phoenix. In theory, I mean, I feel good about them taking 8-1. But, you know, Sacramento and Atlanta, those are the teams that passed on Luka Doncic, right? The Grizzlies, it is my belief that the Grizzlies would have. I think they would have taken Jaren Jackson over Luka, but they didn't really have a choice. I mean, Luka was not there when they picked, and they could not have done a trade, I believe. They could not have done any kind of trade or maneuver to get him. And so regardless of what they wanted to do, he was not an option for them anyway.
in terms of that, you think the Grizzlies would have taken Ayton over Jackson, but nobody else?
I don't know for certain. My best educated guess is that their board would have gone Ayton, Jackson, then probably Luka Bagley. That is my best guess. I was not in the room. I have not right. seen it, but that is my best guess.
Do you believe that both Atlanta and Sacramento will regret picking Luka? I mean, we'll see. It'll all unfold.
I believe Atlanta will. Yes, in fact, I believe. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Luka play against NBA talent yet, and so it's hard for me to say definitively. But yeah, I suspect both of those teams will regret that.
Yeah, you could easily. Like, he's in a perfect position to also. I mean, Ayton could win Rookie of the Year. It doesn't feel like Jaren Jackson Jr. will win Rookie of the Year. Just he's not going to put up big numbers.
Well, the thing about Ayton is he's a center and he needs someone to help get him the ball. And he's on a team that does not have a roster to help get him the ball. That's my biggest concern about Ayton. Luka doesn't need someone to get him the ball. He's got to have the ball. He's got the share of Dennis Smith Jr., but he's going to be a primary playmaker. So he will have much more control over his own success than DeAndre Ayton does. And he's on a team that's set up pretty well for him. Like they got the big center, they got a point guard, they got a wing in Harrison Barnes. They don't have any depth, but the core of that team, if Luka is as good as they're making him out to be, the core of that team is pretty decent.
If he's a Rookie of the Year type star, could you see them taking a big leap?
Yeah, I could. I think they need a leap from Dennis Smith Jr. from year one to year two.
Right.
But if Luka is going to be, like, you know, the Rookie of the Year, you know, a borderline all-star player as an NBA rookie, to go with DeAndre Jordan, Harrison Barnes, Wes Matthews, and a second-year Dennis Smith Jr., that's a team that could take a big leap. That's certainly a team that could be better than the Grizzlies. That's the team the Grizzlies are probably closest to, if we're being honest. I mean, we'd like to think that they're there with Denver and Portland, but more than likely they're in that group with the Clippers and the Mavs. And whoever is the best of that trio maybe can sneak their way into the playoff race. That's probably a more likely situation.
I gotcha. Chris, thanks very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
That is Chris Harrington. Coming up next, the fairly half of our Westwood fairly battle. Doc Holliday from Local 24 is going to join us. Talk a little Memphis football. And we'll talk Penny, too. With Doc when we come back. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
So Jeffrey, my sidekick and producer, went to Bounty on Broad for his birthday, and I thought he made a mistake because he did not have the cornbread-crusted fried Gulf oysters, and he did not have the Moroccan-spiced lamb ribs, and he did not have the braised pork shank with Gouda grits. But then Jeffrey explained to me that he did have the 14-ounce grilled New York strip, and he did have the crisp Brussels sprouts with roasted apples, cranberries, toasted almond, and bacon crumbles. So I felt a lot better. And that's why Bounty is one of my favorite restaurants in town and why I was a regular long before I started talking about it on the radio. It's a beautiful restaurant with delicious farm-to-table food that is all sourced locally. And I haven't even mentioned the creative drinks or the not-to-be-missed Saturday and Sunday brunch. Bounty on Broad is open at 5 Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 2 Saturday and Sunday. It can accommodate private parties from 12 all the way up to 200 guests. So head on over and have an unforgettable meal and an unforgettable experience.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-600-4850. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-600-4850. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-600-4850. 1-800-600-4850.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. I'm often asked to describe myself. It's an interesting question. For over 30 years, my fights have been against giants, insurance companies, the makers of unsafe products, tobacco and pharmaceutical companies, BP in the great oil spill, and companies who defraud consumers and their own employees. I fight the powerful for the powerless, and our results speak for themselves. We have recovered billions and billions and billions of dollars for our clients. $1.2 billion in one case alone. I risk millions of dollars of my own money in case cost fighting these wrongdoers. I spent $10 million in Florida to pass a constitutional amendment to allow sick and injured people to use medical marijuana. I would describe myself as a fighter who hates to lose. If you want a fighter, call me on your cell phone at Pound Law. That's #529. Morgan & Morgan, for the people. .com.
Exciting rides, fair food, and an awesome youth talent show with today's Perks Deal. A discounted family four-pack of tickets or a 10-day fair pass to the Mid-South Fair. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Completely sure that girl is real.
I was out at an event last night at La Fleniere talking about the Daily Memphian to Memphians. That's what we try to do. We try to get out there and talk to folks about what is about to happen. And I ran into a friend. He started talking about his daughter in college and all this stuff. And it dawned on me again how unbelievably complicated the process is. But there is an answer, and it is the answer that I have used for all three of my kids. For Ben, who Facebook Memories just told me that it was 2 years ago today I dropped him off at college. I got two more coming. And so what do? We go to Academic Advantage. I'll sit down with you, say, okay, what's Ben all about? What's Andrew all about? What's Peter all about? Let's figure this thing out. Let's figure out what's best for them, and let's figure out what's best for your wallet. They can help you with standardized test prep. They can help you with course selection, the courses that you need to take to get into a college. They can help you with crafting an essay for your application, help you with financial aid, all of that. They will untangle the mysteries of this whole college process. Go to the place where I go with my kids. 921-1833 is the phone number at Academic Advantage, 921-1833, or at academicadv.org. Joined now by Doc Holliday, of course, sports director for Local 24 and CW30 on Twitter at Local24. Doc, the other half of our Westwood Fairley rivalry show today, we had Steve White on earlier from Westwood, and I was expressly asked to ask you, it was suggested to me that I should ask you about the last game that you played between Westwood and Fairley. Steve White makes that request. How did that go?
Well, let me tell you something. I knew Steve would probably say that, but let me start before that.
Yeah.
Because Westwood had Darrell Williams, they had Steve, they had Clug, they had a lot of soldiers. We had a lot of soldiers, too. So Darrell Williams was throwing the ball over the place. First time we played him, it was 30-0. Second time we played him,
was that like was that freshman year?
That was tenth grade.
You won 30-0.
I'm leading up. I'm leading up to senior year. So the second year we played him, they were undefeated, and Darrell Williams was throwing 300-400 yards a game. Steve was getting like 15 tackles. So Darrell went on the news and like, you know, yeah, I'm gonna break the record this week, and it just will have to be Fairley, and we were undefeated, and we had the number one team in the nation. So we beat Steve and them 33-0 next.
63-0 aggregate.
So my senior year, our quarterback got into it the day of the game. He shot a pistol in the air, so he couldn't play.
No.
So the first half we was beating him, we were shutting him out. Our best defensive player got kicked out of the game, so we ended up losing by 6. So Steve is right. They did beat us the last game, but there was a lot of variables that went into that last loss. So. Steve's my guy, man.
your quarterback shot a pistol in the air?
Yeah. He got into it with a couple of basketball players, and the basketball players actually came into the gym, and I didn't know, you know, they were like, Doc, this is what he did. Because, you know, of course they had to ask me first because we kind of stuck together and I was leading the team. So if you fight one of our players, I'm going to have to fight you. So, but they came and they came to me and explained the situation. So I said, go ahead on, whoop him, man. I don't like him anyway. So that's what happened. But unfortunately, we didn't know he had a weapon. So he shot the gun in there.
Wait, you told the basketball players to whoop the quarterback because you didn't like him anyway?
Yeah, no one liked him. I mean, no one liked him. So he took ass whoopings from junior high to high school. I mean, you know, he would get right for a little while, then people would start hating him again. So I didn't like him. I was like, man, beat him up. I don't care, dog.
But he had a gun. He shot it in the air, and that screwed up your chance of going 3-0 against Westwood.
Yeah, then and then. I mean, we still was whooping them, though, because all we did was run the ball, because I was running the rock. But then our defense, we lost our best defensive player. He got kicked. He got kicked out of the game, so we didn't have him in the second half. And it was kind of, you know, it was just kind of hard to overcome that, because Daryl and Plug, you know, they got going. So, it's cool. You know, hey, I knew Steve was going to say that. I knew he was going to go back to that game, but he's supposed to. It's cool.
What kind of player was Steve White? He said, in fairness, he did bring up that game. But then he said, Jeffrey, what was the exact phrase? He said,
Doc was a bulldozer.
He said you were a bulldozer. And he said that when you played, that you got a surprise start against Tennessee when he was at Tennessee. And he was basically, he told his teammates
at Tennessee.
He told
everyone, buckle up,
because this guy ain't going to maybe messing around. I know him. And you had a big game against Tennessee. So he did sing your praises. What kind of player was Steve White?
Oh, Steve was a monster. Steve, that's why he went to the NFL. That's why Tennessee wanted him. Steve was one of those. He was quick. He was strong. And when you would look at him, he wasn't the biggest defensive lineman, because in high school he was like a linebacker. High school linebacker. He was, you know, he was huge, and he was good laterally. He was moving. He'd bust you in your mouth. You knew when you played Steve, you got to come with it. So, and when he went to Tennessee, it was the same way. Steve was, they switched him to like defensive lineman, and Steve was one of those guys. If you look at the stats, you'd be like, okay, man, you got to watch the film, because Steve raising all kinds of hell in there. So Steve was a hell raiser, man. He was tough. He never gave up on a play. And like I said, he was quick. He had he was physical, and he was just mentally tough, man. Steve was a beast. You know, he had to be a beast to go play for Tampa Bay and go to the league. So now Steve was that dude, man. I most definitely knew where he was when we played Westwood. I can tell you that.
What was that game against Tennessee like?
You know what? That game against Tennessee, this what happens. I was actually redshirted my entire freshman year. When I first got to Memphis, Coach put me on a scout team for the first three or four days after the vets came. You know, our defenses were number one, but I was having my way with him. So he took me off the scout team, and he said he was going to redshirt me. Now that I think about it, but he said he was redshirting me, but he was taking me on all the road trips. So he was just waiting to use me anyway. Because I went to USC. I went to every road game, and redshirts normally don't do that.
Yep.
So it just so happened the week of the Tennessee game, Larry Porter had gotten hurt, Xavier Crawford had gotten hurt, a couple of guys got hurt, and he was like, Doc, you know, I'm like, man, it's the ninth game of the year. So I thought about it, but then I didn't think about it, because if I can't say no, because if I don't now, I'm in trouble. He's going to bench me for the remainder of my career. So it was nice, man. I go up there, it's 100,000, my first college game, and I was really out of shape because I hadn't really been practicing all year. But, you know, my third carry went for almost 50 yards. And, yeah, Steve was right, man. I was Dale Carter and them, Chuck Smith and Chris Miller. Yeah, I was running all through them dudes. And I still remember Dale Carter getting up one time, and he grabbed his face mask and shook his head, and he looked at Chuck Smith. He said, man, y'all got to hit this big old dude, because I'm not hitting him again, man. So it was funny, man. It was hilarious.
How many yards did you have in that game? And then we'll leave it alone. How many yards did you do?
138.
I had 138 in your first start at Tennessee. That's awesome. Two guys from Westwood and Fairleigh going against each other. All right. I think it's an interesting week for Memphis football. I mean, obviously, it's not a very good team they're playing, and they should get a win. But a disappointing loss. Really, the first disappointing loss. I mean, you could be disappointed if you wanted by the Central Florida loss last year, but Central Florida's a really good team. The bowl game. It's the first time they've lost a game that they shouldn't have lost, it seems to me, in a long time. And I'm interested in seeing, I'll be honest, and how the fans respond to this. It's a Friday night game, lots going on, Cooper Young, high school games. I expect the team to come out and play well. I don't know. What are you expecting of this weekend?
Oh, I'm expecting the same thing, man. I'm expecting to come for them to come out and be another beatdown, sort of like they put on Mercer, man. it was an extremely disappointing loss last weekend. It was a game that we were expected to win, even though it was on the road. I feel like we had a better team. I don't think Navy is as good as it has been in the past, but they're still Navy. They're still, you know, soldiers. So they're still tough, and they're still a tough place to play. But when you turn the ball over, man, it's just tough to beat anybody. But I expect them to bounce back. It's Georgia State. I don't know any much thing about Georgia State. All I know is that it's Georgia State. And I also know how, you know, goofy they are. Their damn coach got hurt last week. Celebrating the touchdown, so they go to show you what kind of team they have. So I expect us to beat the brakes off of them, man.
You were, I think this is true. I think I saw you on Twitter. You were being quite a little bit critical. Were you critical of the effort or of the play calling or of the quarterback? I think honestly,
no, Brady. No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't critical of the effort. But Brady has to play better. He has to play better, and I think I understand, and a lot of us understand that. You know, he has some limitations, but I think he'll bounce back this week. But, yeah, I was. You know, I wanted us to throw the ball down the field a little bit more, but then I thought about it. I mean, he's not Paxton. He's not Riley. We've become used to that. We've become used to, you know, stand back in the gun and gunsling it and chunk it. And he's just not that type of quarterback. So I think it's a different mood and a different feel, and it's something we have to get used to. We're not going to get what we got from Riley, and we're not going to get what we got from Paxton. But fortunately, he has the you can turn around and hand that thing up. But, yeah, I was. That close to the last drive in the fourth quarter when we threw the ball a couple of times. I wish we would have kept running it. I mean, the running game was good. I wish we would have kept running the ball instead of throwing it right there. But especially on that second down and especially on that third down because they couldn't do anything with Darren Henderson. But you know, it is what it is. It happened. Of course, being a Memphis Tigers alum, I was upset and I was disappointed. But hey, you know, it happens, man. I just wish we would have got that win because that would have been a good one. That would have been a big one.
Now, in fairness, Paxton wasn't Paxton his first road game, and Riley wasn't Riley wasn't Riley his first road game. Have you really decided in your mind that Brady White can't do certain things and will never be that guy?
Yeah, I mean, as far as if we're looking for 40 and 50-yard throws down the field and Anthony Miller, you go get it. You know, Moses Fraser, you all go get it. Tevin Jones, you all go get it. I think we're not going to get that. I don't think we're going to get that with Brady. But I think we are going to get him making smart decisions, you know, out routes, curl routes, nice little drags, pick routes, hit the tight end, 15-yard post. 15-yard outs. I think we can get there from Brady because I've seen him. He's accurate. He can put it there, you know. But as far as the velocity that we're used to with Riley and Paxton, I know for a fact I don't think we're gonna get that. So we just have to get used to a different type of quarterback.
Okay. One thing, you were nice. We had a great event the other day at Bank of Bartlett. You were distinguished group of people there. I have to say, Ernie Kuiper was there. And you were there, and it was a bunch of distinguished folks who were there. But one thing we talked about was Mike Norvell and how he runs the program. Damian Dodson was obviously there.
Yeah.
And for a bunch of you former players, talked about how open Mike is with former players. Has it been really? I mean, you get the sense that he really embraces the program. The former guys.
No, he does, man. I mean, it's a breath of fresh air because when you finish playing, you still want to feel involved. I mean, you still want to feel like you're a player, even though you're a player. And me being a former player there, but being in the media, I've never went to those young guys and be like, hey, you need to give me information. I need to be like that. I don't do that. I don't go around. I don't, you know. But Mike he's so welcoming, and he asks us. He has Marcus Bell specifically do things to bring the former players around. And it's refreshing, man, because that is how you build the program, because it is a family. That's why I never really say former Tiger on the air, or because once you're a Tiger, I mean, you're still a Tiger. You're never a former Tiger. You just don't play anymore. But no, man, the way Mike Norvell welcomes us around, man, and the way he makes us feel wanted, I mean, it is, man. It's a good feeling because, you know, the previous coach wasn't like that. But it's cool. You know, it was disappointing. But, no, seriously, no, Mike really is, you can say he's a player's coach and he's a former player's coach too, man. So it's real refreshing and it makes a lot of – because I like to see dudes from the 70s and the 80s, that dudes that I didn't know. being able to come around and comfortable coming around. And when they come around, as much as I like to talk, I just be quiet because I'm one of those, man, you know, they're older than me. They were Memphis Tigers before me. So when they talk, I just listen. So to see those guys, man, and to see guys I play with and guys before me, it really is nice, man. And I really give my hat off and a big salute to Mike Norvell for being that way, because it makes a lot, you know, a lot of us older players and old players feel good, man, because we still feel a part of the program that we played for.
It's funny you bring up those players from the 70s and 80s, because a lot of people say, well, this is the golden age in Memphis football, and in a sense it is. Bowl games, all of this, facilities getting better, et cetera. But you could make an argument, and I hear players from earlier, from the 70s, make this argument, that if you're actually talking about what were the best Memphis teams, if you look at the schedules they played back then, it was nuts. Like, they would play five or six. You know, they play Mississippi State, Arkansas, Tennessee, all in the same year. Like, it was, and go 7-4 or something. Like, there were some pretty, it was just a different time because everyone didn't go to bowl games. There were some pretty stout Memphis teams back then.
Oh, there were some real stout Memphis teams, but that's the way we scheduled, and that's the way we played. Not only did they schedule like that in the 70s, they scheduled like that in the 80s. That's how we scheduled. Our non-conference games, even though we weren't really a part of a conference, but
yeah,
every year from 91 to 94, our games were Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, USC, throwing Miami in there. Those are the teams we played, you know. We
and not, and not not State and not just they, one a year, and not just one of them no, a year. Now there's one a year, no, basically.
Yeah. Within in the year. Our schedule would be Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Arkansas. Every year. They're going to be on the schedule. You know, that's what we were playing. So, and that's how it was back then. No, and those teams in the 70s, they did have a lot of good teams, and they had, you know, several players make it to the NFL, too.
Do you believe this defense is dramatically better? It looks dramatically better so far.
Yeah, I do. The way they played last Saturday, man, I was so happy. It was refreshing because they were running to the ball. Not only that, they had figured out that Navy, I'm trying to cut you, so they were watching. They were athletic. You know, you ain't finna cut me. What I love that they were doing is that they were the point of attack. You know, Navy gonna run the ball. You know, they're gonna run that option. They were doing their jobs. No one was trying to overplay. No one was trying to be a superhero. And that's what you have to do when you're facing offenses like Navy. Do your damn job, man. And that's exactly what they was doing. Curtis Akins was coming down, doing his job, punching that fullback in the mouth. They were running. They were chasing down the quarterback. They were chasing down the pitch, man. And I was extremely impressed. And even T.J. Carter, you know, he's one of the best cover guys in college football. And he knew that's one of those games he hates, because, you know, they're not going to throw the ball. But that dude was being so physical up at the line of scrimmage and coming up, popping cats. So I was extremely impressed with that defense. So ain't no doubt about it. This defense is better than it has been the last couple of years.
All right. And lastly, switching to basketball real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know Penny. You believe in Penny. I think a lot of people have put a lot of hope and faith in Penny. In the end, he's got to get some of these guys. Like, he's obviously recruiting at a high level. He's getting visits from big-time guys. He's got to get some of them. Is he going to? Are you 100% convinced that this will turn out well?
Yeah, I'm 100% convinced. Yeah, I'm 100%. He's going to get some of them, man. And the thing about it is that it's exciting, man, to even be in the mix for some of these dudes, whether they're in Memphis or whether they're in other parts of the country, man, because it hasn't been that way. Even with passing, you know, Josh was, you know, he'd be in the mix for a couple of them, but not four, five, six of them have you like, okay, y'all just making my last list. So short answer, Jeff, yeah. I'm 100% current. I'm 100% convinced.
Doc, it's great for you to join us. Really appreciate it. Love your stuff, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
That is Doc Holliday, sports director for Local 24 and CW 30, proud Fairleigh graduate who was setting the record straight. 10th grade year, 33-0.
10th grade was 30-0, then it was 33-0, and then they got me by
6. 11th grade, 33-0. And then when their quarterback shot a gun in the air because Doc told the basketball players that they could go beat up the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Nobody liked him anyway.
They lost him for the first half, and Steve White's team was able to escape with a victory. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Did you know Willis Carrier invented the modern air conditioning system in 1902? Since then, a lot has changed, but one thing that hasn't is being comfortable in your home. Choate's prides itself in creating the most comfort possible with each one of our customers' HVAC systems we install. We believe the best system on the market today is the Carrier Infinity System. This system has the ability to save up to 50% or more on your utilities compared to your existing HVAC system and is tailored to enhance your comfort with its state-of-the-art green speed technology. Right now, Carrier is offering up to 72 months, no interest financing, or rebates of up to $1,650 on a new Carrier Infinity System. Don't miss this limited time offer to have a more comfortable home and save money on your utility bills. Give us a call today at 347-8086 or visit us at choateshvac.com for more information. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. That means whether you're downloading big files, swiping credit cards, or emailing your sales team or customers, your business can go on even if the power goes out. When you're a business owner, you need speed and reliability. For a limited time, make the switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond AT&T. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month when you add two voice mobility lines. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 9/20/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
94.1 The Wolf and your Mid-South Ford dealers present
Another Wolf at the Garden Show.
Starring Dan and Shay. When I taste tequila. And Michael Ray. And I want to kiss you in the morning. Friday, September 28th at the Memphis Botanic Garden. Tickets are on sale now at 941thewolf.com. Brought to you by Mid-South Ford Dealers, Radiance, and Mahaffey Tent and Event Rentals. Get more info at 941thewolf.com.
Memphis Madness, presented by Ashley Home Store, is back. That's right. The excitement of Memphis basketball returns to FedEx Forum on Thursday, October 4th at 7 o'clock p.m. Tickets are on sale now. You won't want to miss this exciting event featuring the men's and women's basketball teams, head coaches Melissa McFerrin and Penny Hardaway, the mighty Sound of the South, and much, much more. Tickets start at just $5, so head to GoTigersGo.com and reserve your seats today. Produced by CGI Entertainment and Pepper, Mouth of the South.
At Simple Truth, we're proud of what's in our food, like fresh squeezed oranges, grass-fed beef for grilling, and crisp organic greens. It all tastes as good as it sounds. We're also proud of what's not in our food, like GMOs or high prices. Simple Truth, available exclusively at Kroger.
The 10 for 10 sale is on now. Look for the special tags on great items throughout the store and mix and match 10 for $10 with card. Fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar on Highland is Memphis' hottest new spot for great plate lunches. Take a look at the menu and specials anytime at TheBluffMemphis.com.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9 ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Waiting on a good day. Waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's wrap this baby up.
Now, it's the closing argument.
Three things wanted to address. One. See this game between Florida and Colorado State?
So they're going to play it? Is that correct?
Well, the interesting thing, are they not playing it?
I believe they're playing it, yes.
Okay, the interesting thing about this game It is the Jim McElwain game.
Bowl, yes.
The Jim McElwain Les Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The economics of this are astonishing. He was, of course, the coach at Colorado State.
Correct, before getting the Florida job.
Before getting the Florida job. He had a $7 million buyout from his job at Colorado State.
Correct.
$2 million of that was to be paid for by this game. Colorado State was going to come play Florida, and Colorado State's going to get $2 million for the game. Maybe the biggest buy game ever in the history of college football.
Or certainly has to be up there.
Right. One of the biggest buy games ever in the history of college football. So they paid $2 million. I mean, they paid $7 million, $2 million of which come in the context of this game, for a coach who 3.5 years later, they paid $7.5 million.
So it sounds like a sound financial investment.
To go away. And now they're still playing, even though Jim McElwain is no longer there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a good business move.
This is why the whole thing about college football coaches deserve as much money, right, as they... Here's the truth. There are certain college football coaches who deserve as much that much money. I don't think anyone would argue that Nick Saban has changed the trajectory at Alabama.
Yes.
Right? He has earned his money.
Yes.
The problem is that every single coach doesn't get paid what Nick Saban was, but they get market rate. And they may stink.
Yes.
They're just getting paid that because that's what coaches get paid, because that's how much money is kicking around, because you can't pay players because they're amateurs. And so the whole thing that, well, they, no. Most don't really earn $300,000 if you were just to, like in terms of actual output and the difference they made.
No, I did this story for the website when I first started. If you look at Power 5 coaches, roughly 80% win exactly at the level that school has historically won. Therefore, that means almost 80% of coaches. access bowls didn't exist when Houston Nutt went to back-to-back Cotton Bowls. But if you put it on par, the Cotton Bowl was one of the six bowls, if you would have included the play, like if you would have taken out the playoff, they went to similar equivalent level bowls, and then they fell off right after that. The difference is Houston Nutt, in the year that Hugh Freeze last year, I believe that that team was going to be a disaster under him. And so he avoided having to take all
the did he do that because it was a disaster because he's a bad coach or because of the NCAA problems? That's a separate question.
I mean, people always point to the NCAA problems. He's still in the midst of an NCAA investigation. In 2016, he signed the number six recruiting class in the country.
Right.
He had the number one left tackle. He had the number one quarterback, and he had the number one receiver. And then he had another five-star. So when everyone points to that, I actually completely disagree with that. The problem is Hugh Freeze completely neglected the defensive side of recruiting.
Okay. Two other things I want to talk about. One, did you see Kevin Hart throughout the first pitch?
No, did it go poorly?
Didn't go well. He looked good. He shook off the catcher.
Okay.
You know, he several times. And
okay. Whatever.
And it wasn't awful, but he bounced it. He threw it hard. It bounced with velocity.
Right.
And it was to the right. So it was not, and he was on the mound. Like he didn't, he gave it the old college try. But anyway, so.
Underrated part about first pitches, for anyone that's ever played baseball, it's really weird to throw a baseball without a glove on your hand.
But you look like a dork going out there with a glove on your hand?
You look like a tryhard. You look like Jim Harbaugh showing up at the game.
No, you can't do that.
But I give some credit to that.
Okay. Also, in a moment of personal growth for my son Peter last night, I discovered. Does this surprise you?
Okay.
I discovered he's 16 years old, an American.
Okay.
He had never had a McDonald's burger in his life.
Really?
Well, the reason is it's not that he hadn't been to McDonald's. Because he does go to McDonald's. We do go to McDonald's. We're on the road. We'll go to there for breakfast. And we'll get pancakes or a biscuit or whatever.
Sure. McGriddle.
But it's because I actually think kids these days tend to get chicken nuggets.
Okay.
Right? And then if they don't get the chicken nuggets, then they graduate to the chicken sandwich.
Sure.
So it is how a 16-year-old American child can grow up having never tasted a McDonald's hamburger or cheeseburger. Or quarter pounder, or like any kind of McDonald's burger. So last night, as I was heading home from the Daily Memphian event, go to dailymemphian.com and put in your email address, and you'll be in the loop when we get fired up, which will be very soon. I decided, A, I was hungry, and I decided to cheat. So I drove through McDonald's.
Yeah.
I got two cheeseburgers for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a cheeseburger for young Sung Peter to expand his horizon.
Right.
And maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe this is corrupting the young fellow. But so I bring it home. And if you're introducing a McDonald's cheeseburger to someone, here's how I think you have to do it. He said, is it good? Well,
good.
That's a very difficult question.
Yes.
It is not a cheeseburger.
Correct. It's its own thing.
That's exactly what I said. If you go to Five Guys, that is a burger that tastes like the burger like that you would kick on your grill, basically. You recognize that from what the thing that you have always identified as a burger.
Correct.
That's what you're getting at Five Guys.
Correct.
Other places, probably also true. I don't know. But if you go to McDonald's, it is a thing that has a bun and something in the middle and condiments.
Yes.
It's a McDonald's cheeseburger. It is not a burger.
It's not a cheeseburger.
Yes. It is its own thing. Judged by its own thing. So I told him all that. I said, don't judge this against the cheeseburger.
Correct.
Have this thing. Pretend it's a new food product.
It's a new sandwich. Beef and cheddar. And cheese.
We don't even the beef. Let's not overemphasize the beef. We'll call it a mixed snack.
Yes. A mixed snack. That's great.
We'll call it a mixed snack. Have this mixed snack and see what you think. And as a mixed snack, I think they're pretty good.
I completely agree with you.
If you don't judge them by...
You can't go in and say, I'm looking for quality.
you're, or even a cheeseburger.
Exactly. At that point, you just like
want to the wrong snack. If you want a cheeseburger, you went to the wrong place.
Yes.
You want a mixed snack, and as a mixed snack, he ate it, and he said,
pretty good.
I think it's pretty good.
It's exactly what it is.
And it's pretty good.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not life-changing.
Sue me. Sue me. I certainly don't represent McDonald's. I'd be happy to if they wanted me to, because I go there
if the check
occasionally. But I have standards. I don't, not just anybody, mind you, but I do use their products, and I like their mixed snacks as mixed snacks.
Right.
All right, go ahead with that.
Here's the bite of the day.
All right, Jeff. So Aaron Rodgers was interviewed by Michelle Tafoya after Sunday Night Football, and he sounded a little weird. So I wanted to take a listen to it and see if you think that he sounds out of it or perhaps drugged up.
You know, I went in the locker room, did all the tests in our indoor facility trying to get it loosened up. But I knew once I got back on the field, the adrenaline started going, I'd be able to hang in there.
What was the injury?
Well, my knee. You know, I just felt something in it. Just having a hard time putting weight on it. Doc and I had a conversation there. Yeah, we did the test. I told him I was going back.
You come back on the field, it's 20-0. There was a look in your eye. What were you thinking?
Something special. You know, I told the guys at halftime, I said, if you shut them out, we're going to win. They gave up 6, but I just had a feeling that we could spark it and get things going if we just put together a couple drives, disappointed, you know, with the field goal. And then guys started making plays. That's what we said in the huddle. You know, we got to make some plays. Gmo had a great catch. And then Randall, you know, ran about 80 yards for a touchdown. It was pretty special.
You think he was drunk?
No.
Drugged.
No, you know what I think happens? I think when a quarterback is at Lambeau Field and he comes back from an injury, I think the ghost of Brett Favre completely overtakes
him. What do
you
really think?
I think they shot him up and then he was just exhausted.
Exhausted or drugged?
I don't think he was drugged. I think he took one of those epidural things, whatever those things they give you, those pain shots that, and I'm sure at the end he was exhausted on top of it.
What's next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Mike Conley of the Memphis Grizzlies will join their program at 11:25. Neil McCready will join me on the Eric Hasseltine Show, 3:25. 5:30 today, Olivia Harlan Decker will join the Gary Parrish Show. Of course, Jeff at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Our work here is done.
Download the official 92.9 FM ESPN app, the radio.com app. Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis's sports station.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish reminding you about Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals. They're a local, family-owned and operated business serving the Mid-South's residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010. And at this point, you should know, Danny Morrison Roofing is known as the home of the free roof. Danny's team has built a reputation for timely and professional roof repair and roof replacement with attention to detail, and they have the ability to work with insurance companies to make sure customers who qualify for a new roof can get one with no out-of-pocket costs. Most roofing jobs, they can be done in just one day. And if for any reason you're not completely happy with your roof, Danny and his team will ensure your complete satisfaction. You want a free roofing estimate? You can get that right now. Just call Danny at 901-870-0186. That's 901-870-0186. Or visit him on the web at morrisonroofing.net. That's Danny Morrison Roofing, a proud supporter of the University of Memphis Athletic Department. Check him out on the web, morrisonroofing.net. That's morrisonroofing.net.
Want to bet? Las Vegas is miles away. The all-new sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino are much closer. We're your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket, to real odds, points, and over-unders. We've got all the action, the largest video screens, and the best prop bets in town. So come place your bets at the sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
I weighed 329 pounds. I was a heart attack waiting to happen. I got Ender 400. It makes me not so hungry. I started noticing more energy. I noticed my belly was starting to shrink up. I started seeing weight come off, 80-some pounds. I went from 330 to 245. For a 56-year-old guy to lose that much weight, it took something, brother. I feel great. I feel like I was when I was 35 years old.
That was Ruben. Now listen to what Josh says about Andro 400.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that stuff really works. It was insane. I've heard the commercials, what, for a decade? I was like, yeah, I'm just going to try it. My pants are, like, falling off. It really works. I bought suits last year for my new job, and they're falling off of me. It's insane.
Guys, if you want to lose belly fat, gain energy, strength, and muscle, and look and feel years younger, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.